as a business owner, do you find it difficult to social distance and run a gym?
One more rep, guys!
Is shaking hands on a deal hard when you can't shake hands? Make accepting payments the easier part of adapting your business. Search Barclaycard Business to find an offer that could suit your changing business needs. Offers end 31st of March 2021. Barclaycard. We take every payment seriously. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's and exclusions apply. New UK customers only.
This is your St. Paddy's Day Slam review for AEW Dynamite here for March 17, 2021. I am the Solid Monster. I'm feeling green today for the occasion. Hope you guys are having a great day, having a great night, because we just witnessed the greatest women's match in AEW history. Not even close. Bar none. The best, not only the best women's match in AEW history, but one of the best matches in Dynamite history, one of the best main events that you will ever see. If you think that the parking lot brawl between Best Friends and Inner Circle is up there as maybe the greatest main event in Dynamite history, then in terms of sheer brutality, this one is right up there with it. This main event was really, for me, honestly, I was going to come on here and talk to you guys about how I didn't really think this was a very good show. It wasn't really a show that got me overly excited. And I was all ready to come on here and tell you all why and the different parts of the show that I wasn't really enamored with. And then I watched this main event. And this main event saved the show for me. This main event took this show from being down here in like that maybe like five range to a show that we're all going to remember for a very long time. And the funny part about it is this was better than the exploding barbed wire death match that people paid money to see at Revolution only a couple of weeks ago. You know, with me, these hardcore type matches are very hit or miss. Some of them I like, some of them I'm not really a fan of. Yo, Giovanni Zarate! We're getting things, look at this, we're getting things started here on a hot note. With the $110 super chat drop, holy shit, Giovanni Zarate. What's going on, my friend? He's hardcore, just like Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. These ladies killed it. These ladies went out there and they had a match that, this is the kind of match when you are blowing off a feud, and I certainly hope after watching this match tonight that that's what this was. We don't need any other matches between these two. This was the perfect payoff to what had been a long simmering feud between these two women now for the past few months. And, it, you know, when you have a match like this, you want to go all out and give people something to remember, right? You want to have maybe that one big spot. It wasn't really one big spot. It was just, I don't know that people were really expecting this to become a double juice match. Which is what this was. Both women bled. They went in there and they absolutely just tore the house down. Cannot say enough good things about that main event. We get to talk all about it a little bit later on as we go on. I tell you, the Adam Cole, Britt Baker household. This might have been more hardcore than anything I've seen Adam Cole do in NXT. He might be able to get a few pointers from the good doctor after her match tonight. Amazing. And a really fun match on top of that. We know what Thunder Rosa can do. Thunder Rosa obviously is very good. We've seen her have very good matches before. But without a shadow of a doubt, the best match of Britt Baker's life. Britt Baker goes to bed at night and dreams of having matches like this. And she really needed this too, because I feel like when you look back at her career up to this point, yeah, you know, I'll get messages from people saying, how come you talk about Britt Baker being the next champion and being the one to beat Sheeta? She's not that good. She's not that good of a wrestler. Well, look, she may not be the best in-ring wrestler of the women that they have on the roster, but I would struggle to think of a really great Britt Baker match that I could sort of counter them with and say, oh, well, you know, you really need to see this match, or you really need to see that match. She never really had that one standout match in her AEW tenure. Now she has it. This is the match that she is going to point to in the future. When people say, what's that one great Britt Baker match? They're going to think of this match here on Dynamite tonight. So I loved it. before I get into anything from this show tonight, again, there was a lot on this show I really wasn't all that thrilled about. I just didn't think this was a strong show until the main event. But I do want to just spend a few quick minutes here, because on Monday night, AEW had a brand new show that debuted on YouTube called AEW Dark Elevation. And when Paul White was signed to a contract with AEW, he came in part to be the color commentator along with Tony Schiavone on this new edition of AEW Dark. And this was his big commentary debut. So I thought, well, you know, it's a show I should probably check out. So I watched it. I watched the very first episode of AEW Dark Elevation. And it will be my last. I am not watching this show every week. I am not doing that again. See, I thought, correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me in the chat if I'm wrong. I was of the impression, I could have sworn Tony Khan said this, that the idea here is that they're going to break up AEW Dark, because Dark is a bloated show. I know some people really enjoy watching it. You know, it's just match after match after match. Sometimes 16, 17 matches on a single card. I was of the impression that by adding Elevation, they were effectively going to cut Dark in half, and it was going to be like two different versions of Dark. But instead of having 12, 15 matches on one show, you bring that number down a little bit. Now, that was the impression that I was under. Boy, was I wrong. That was not the case at all. This fucking show went 2 hours long. 2 hours of squash matches. Why? Why is that needed? You have Dark on Tuesdays. I watched part of Dark just to see if the show was going to be any different. It was no different. So they basically, and maybe this is only temporary, but they basically kept the Dark format and they just added another 2 hours of squash matches. Who's going to sit through all of this? Not this guy. I can tell you that. Not me. I must not be the audience that it's aimed at. And look, I could appreciate the fact that they are giving a platform to all of this unsigned talent. But, you know, sometimes too much is too much. This is too much. So, I like that they're giving these people exposure, but now I know what it feels like to have sat through those old WWF marathon tapings, that the 4-hour tapings they used to have. For the syndicated shows, those poor people would be sitting there watching about 15 Beverly Brothers job matches in one taping, a couple of Papa Shango matches. Maybe at the end they'd get a couple of big names. Now I know what it must have felt like for them to sit through those tapings. Paul White, I thought, was very good. To be a little positive here, I thought Paul White was very good in his first appearance here, although he did lose steam as the show went on. But then again, so did I. I mean, it would be impossible not to. He definitely seemed like he was fading away. He could have used a 5-hour energy as the show went on, but I thought, for his first appearance, I thought he did very good. I think he's got the voice for it. I think he is trying. You know, he was on Talk Is Jericho and mentioned the fact that, you know, he tried to talk to some of the talent before the show, probably get to know them a little bit better. So I think he wants to make a good impression. I think he's trying hard. I think he'll grow into the role. So I did like that. I also laughed, by the way, when AEW does these live streams on YouTube, like what you're seeing now. You see people chatting away, right? And I'm watching the live chat on the AEW YouTube channel as the show is going on, and I see person after person going, wait a minute, this is just Dark. Like they're shocked by what they're seeing. And I'm saying to myself, the name of the show is AEW Dark. They just put an extra word in there. Literally, it's called Dark. What did you think it was going to be? And I wanted to type that in the chat and go, you dummy, what did you think this was? But the chat was going so fast. Maki Ito this and Maki Ito that, I couldn't see anything. So I said, fuck it. But I'm like, why are these people so shocked and upset? What did they think the show was going to be? Did they think they were going to get an AEW world title match on this show? These people got to use their brains. Kenny Omega actually did make an appearance. The AEW world champion did appear on the very first episode of AEW Dark, Elevation. And he said he was scouting future opponents. He singled out Matt Sydal, who had wrestled earlier in the show. And he told him that if he could beat Michael Nakazawa, that he would give him a match. But he had to beat Nakazawa in order to do it. And he did. He beat Michael Nakazawa with ease. And Kenny Omega attacked him from behind after and said, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. Instead of waiting until Dynamite, why don't we go ahead and have our match right now? And it was one V-trigger and one winged angel, and he went for the pin, and it was a whole, you know, he was just clowning around until Tony Khan came out. Oh, boy. And this is exactly what I feared. Now, when Tony Khan does these commercials, these paid advertisements on Impact, him and Tony Schiavone, I actually think that they're pretty entertaining enough. Like, I don't mind him doing those. He's doing the Vince McMahon in Memphis shtick from 1993. And that's fine. I have no issue with that at all. But my biggest fear was, and he has said before, I'm not going to be the authority figure. I'm not going to be the owner who comes out on television and makes himself part of the show. I mean, we hear his name drop by the talent every single week. But here comes Tony Khan, right? It just felt like here comes the GM. And he comes out, he's got a microphone in his hand, and he says that, I never wanted to appear on camera, but I will anyway. Says, I never wanted to appear on camera, but this is BS what Kenny did. I don't know if his allergies were flaring up. It's happened to the best of us. He sounded really weird and just awful. This was terrible. This was absolutely terrible. And he said that he's going to give Sydal 9 days until the next live Dynamite, which is next week, to get ready for a match, a proper match, not a sham, a proper match with Kenny Omega. And if he wins that match, he will earn a shot at the AEW World Championship. Get that man some Flonase. I don't know what was going on with Tony Khan, but he sounded awful when he came out. 9 days! He kept saying 9 days over and over again. 9 days! I give you 9 days! 9 days! You get the Flonase, he just goes right up the nostrils. It'll open up your sinuses, and hopefully he'll sound better. The main event was Riho against Maki Ito, and Riho beat Maki Ito. This is the last of Maki Ito. No more Maki Ito for the time being. She has already flown back to Japan. No word on when or if they'll bring her back. I only make one plea, and then we'll get to Dynamite. I make one plea, please, for the love of God. Even though I don't plan on watching every single week, please. Please, cut these shows in half. Please. 14 matches on Monday. 15 matches on Tuesday. Plus, you throw in Dynamite tonight. It's asinine. That's what it was. 14 matches on Monday. 15 more on Tuesday. Holy burnout. Please. Please cut these shows in half. So there's my Dark review. Now we can get to Dynamite. See, you're getting two reviews for the price of one. Penta El Cero Miedo taking on Cody Rhodes. Penta took out Cody with a dive before the bell. They were brawling on the floor. Penta sent Cody into the ring post. Cody then tossed Penta into the barricade. There was a top rope Hurricanrana from Cody Rhodes, something we don't normally see him doing, but he hit that move. Picture perfect. Cody hit a destroyer and a Cody cutter for a near fall. Followed that up with the crossroads, but Penta kicked out. Very good near fall. Cody sent Penta up for the vertebraker. Hit the vertebraker. Again, Penta kicked out. Cody locked on the figure four. Eventually, though, Penta made it to the ropes, broke the hold. And Penta followed that up with his signature arm breaker, a move that I have been fond of. He's been using it since the Lucha Underground days. He used to snap people's arms with it. He was like the arm collector. It was such a great spot. And then he came to AEW, and now it's just a transition spot. They make such a big deal about it, too. He'll hit the arm breaker in the end, like Excalibur goes, oh, my goodness. But then the guy's right back up like nothing even happened. He used the arm breaker here on Cody, and Cody's got the kinesio tape on his shoulder, right? He's got the arm injury. It's the injured arm, right? He's got a bum wing. And Penta goes ahead and he hits a signature arm breaker. Cody no-sells this fucking thing and immediately reaches up and rolls Penta up for the win. Rolls him up and Cody picks up the win. I despised that finish. The match itself I thought was good. I despised that finish. Hated it. Hated the way that he no-sold the move. He just shook off the arm snap. Oh, let me just reach up and pin him. But then when the match is over, I'll sell the arm. Bullshit. That sucked. I thought that sucked. I also didn't think that Cody needed to win this, quite frankly, but we can quibble over winners and losers. Him no-selling the arm snap, though, is no... That's no wins. Did not like this. But Penta attacked him when the match was over. He got chased away by the members of the Nightmare family who came out to make the save. I have to assume that this is the first of what will at least be one more match that hopefully Penta will win. So I will reserve judgment on exactly how this ends up because I assume this is not going to be their only match. Let me also say this, and I've said this before. I don't care about the Nightmare family. So the Nightmare family comes out to make the save. 90 seconds later, here comes QT Marshall to also check on Cody. Hey, are you okay? And they're all looking at him like, where were you, dude? You got Dustin in the ring. You got Billy Gunn's offspring in the ring. Again, I don't even know anymore who's a part of the Nightmare. I might be a fucking part of the Nightmare family. I just don't even know it. You know, who we got in the chat? Ken Terminated in the chat. Who else is in the chat? Dan Brown. Ken and Dan, for all I know, could be members of the Nightmare family too. Okay? But here comes QT Marshall. Obviously, they're doing this angle with QT. He must be going heel soon or breaking away. I don't give a shit. Am I the only one who doesn't care about this Nightmare family drama? Who cares? Who cares? I just want, you know, I want to see Penta just snap each and every single one of their arms and then rip them off and just beat them over the head with it. That's what I want to see. Give me that. That's the Pentagon I want to see. I like the fact that we're now getting Pentagon and Phoenix are getting singles pushes. I think that's great. I want to see more singles Pentagon, which we really haven't seen since Lucha Underground. Let's focus more on him. Less on this Nightmare family stuff. Jade Cargill. Quickly becoming one of my favorites. This was only her second professional wrestling match after the Shaq match. This was her first singles match. So this was her singles debut in the ring. She went one-on-one against Danny Jordan. I've said it before. You guys have heard me say it on the streams. I will say it again. Watching her come out here, her entrance, her presence in the ring, this woman oozes star. This woman is a star in the making. If she can just keep having matches and keep getting better and better and better, this is only her second match, she can be a superstar in this company. Not just a star, but a superstar. This woman has it. Pump kick wipes out Danny Jordan right away. She hit Danny Jordan with a release German suplex. I don't know how Danny Jordan didn't end up in the fifth row. She flung this woman. Just flung her 3/4 of the way across the ring. Looked great. Probably didn't feel too good for Danny Jordan. She hit her then with the glam slam finish, which she calls the Jaded. That's the name of the move. Picks up the win. Short and to the point. We still have not seen Jade Cargill in a long match. Or certainly a long singles match. So, you know, it remains to be seen how good she really will be. I'm not going to just judge the rest of her career on only two matches, but what I've seen so far, you know, tonight she didn't have the benefit of there being a partner or anything like that. It was short, but she didn't look clumsy. You know, sometimes you watch somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience, they might have two left feet, or I've seen some of the women, especially if you're like a really tiny person, who their offense looks horrible because it just doesn't look like they're putting any real effort into it. But, you know, that release German suplex looked pretty brutal. So what I've seen, the limited stuff that I've seen from this woman so far so good. She went outside the ring. She was jawing in the front row with Red Velvet, who was out there, who took a swing at her, and Bryce Remsburg had to get between them, and Jade Cargill, she went off. She posed on the stage, and then she went to the back. Jade against Camille, says Biblical Adrian in the chat. Camille, I've missed Camille. I know Camille is going to be part of the NWA revival coming up. Well, I guess they have a pay-per-view this weekend. I won't be watching it. But Camille is going to be part of the NWA revival, for those of you who are a fan. And who knows, you know, with the relationship between the two companies, we may end up seeing Camille make appearances on AEW Dynamite. How about that? Maybe we'll get matches with Camille and Thunder Rosa, two NWA talents on AEW TV. I don't see how that benefits AEW necessarily, but I wouldn't mind seeing Camille pop up on Dynamite. So after their attack on the Inner Circle last week, MJF came out with his new faction. They had their first in-ring promo. The new group came out. They are calling themselves The Pinnacle, which I like. I like that name. I didn't know what they were going to call these guys. They obviously weren't going to call them The Horsemen. We knew that. So, you know, The Pinnacle, I think, is a good name. Good name. You know what it means. You know what it represents. That's really the most important thing. It makes sense. Tully Blanchard, Wardlow, FTR, Sean Spears, and MJF. Tully took the microphone first, so he did the talking initially, and he said it was great being in the middle of the ring with this group of guys. He recounted how we all saw Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara and Santana and Ortiz and Jake Hager the week before. He said, since people called them the greatest group, that means that we knocked them off. That puts us as the pinnacle of the sport. He said 30 years ago, he was with the greatest group of guys in professional wrestling, right? Four, there it is. He was part of that group. And he would end his career being part of, again, the greatest collection of talent in pro wrestling. Tully is as good of a promo today as he was 30 years ago. Tully was great. Newsflash, Tully Blanchard can cut a promo. I know, what a shocking thing. He handed the microphone over to MJF, who said it wasn't easy taking a backseat to Chris Jericho for 6 months. He was playing him like a fiddle for 6 months. He had to stand back. He said he was standing back as far as Jericho's hairline was. Said he managed to convince every mouth breather at home that he wanted to take over the Inner Circle, when in reality, his goal was to destroy it from within. Said his goal was to create a better group. Said Tully was correct when he said that they are the pinnacle. Called Wardlow the best big man in wrestling and the greatest insurance policy. Called Sean Spears a wrestler's wrestler that had been held back for far too long. Said that if you have a problem with him, you could take it up with him because you would eat your words and eat a chair shot. He's still using the whole chairman of the board. He's the chairman of AEW, that whole nickname. Although I don't know the last time I saw him handling a steel chair. I don't know the last time I saw Sean Spears do anything meaningful on TV. But they're still going back to that whole chairman gimmick from when he debuted. He hit Cody in the head with the chair. Called FTR the greatest team on God's green earth. And he called himself the most talked about name in wrestling. Said that he is unstoppable in the ring and on the mic at just 24 years of age. He would only get better like a fine wine as he got older. Said he's got 25 years left in the tank. When his career is over, Chris Jericho would not be the GOAT. It would be him. It would be MJF. So the story is that all along, all of literally the song and dance, right? That whole thing, everything that MJF did while he was part of the Inner Circle was all part of trying to drive a wedge between the members of the Inner Circle, which worked with Sammy for a while. So that was the big reveal. That was the story. That was the reason why he was part of the Inner Circle this entire time. I thought MJF and Tully were tremendous here. I look at this group and I think, you know, FTR can go in the ring, could go either way. I think it really depends on who they're feuding with. They really need a good team to play off of. But obviously in the ring, they're very good. They're more than capable of holding their own. Wardlow is going to be, I still say, he's going to be one of the big breakout stars in that company. You know, before he was part of the Inner Circle with MJF, now it's this group, but I still see in the future a big babyface run for him when he finally does break away from MJF. You don't have to do it now. Got plenty of time for that. But I do look at Wardlow as the one who has the big future here. I think he'll do well. Sean Spears is the big question mark. You know, he came over from WWE. WWE did not look at him. They didn't prioritize him as any kind of headline guy. And he's not. But can he contribute in this type of environment as part of a group? I think this might be the best thing for him. In fact, I'm convinced that if this guy has any chance of success on television, it is going to come as part of a faction. You know, that's the role for him. He is that. He can play that part. He's not the MJF of the group. It's like Jericho is the leader of the Inner Circle. Sean Spears is not that guy. But Sean Spears can be, you know, the guy right below. The guy who goes after the TNT title. Or if he were in WWE, the guy who would go after the US title. Or the Intercontinental title. That's the role for him. So if he's going to have success in AEW, then it's sink or swim time for Sean Spears. We're going to see how well he ends up doing. They can't make this work with him, then I don't think they can make it work at all. We had Matt Hardy, Private Party, The Butcher, and The Blade against Jurassic Express and Bear Country. Bear Country is a team that we haven't seen very often on Dynamite. They're primarily on Dark. We saw them in the Tag Team Battle Royal at Revolution. They were here teaming up with Jurassic Express. The story here is that the two teams, the two babyface teams, could not work together all that well. While Matt Hardy and his guys, his crew, they worked together pretty much like a well-oiled machine. And of course, in the end, Matt took the credit and took the fall. Took the winning fall. Marco Stunt slapped Matt Hardy. Things broke down very early on. Marco Stunt, by the way, he got way too much time in this match. Whatever. Babyface squad cleared the heels from the ring. Bear Country tossed Marco onto the heels at ringside. Luchasaurus hit a choke slam on Isaiah Cassidy. Butcher broke up the pin attempt. Marco Stunt tagged himself in. And the babyfaces started to argue with each other. They were having a disagreement. They all spilled out to the ring. Marco was all by himself inside. Matt Hardy and Private Party, they took their shots at him. Private Party hit Gin and Juice, and Matt Hardy tagged himself in, hit a Twist of Fate, and picked up the win. So, not so big money, Matt. I guess given his loss at the pay-per-view, he picks up the win with his crew. I didn't think this was very good. I didn't think this match was very good. But it told the story that they were looking to tell, and so I guess to that end, it accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish, the match itself. That's what I think. Christian Cage. You like that? We're offering sound effects now. That's my sound effect. That's my whoopee cushion sound effect. Christian Cage was interviewed by Dasha backstage about why he joined AEW. We had not really heard from Christian. Well, we heard from Christian on Renee Young's podcast, but not on AEW television. This was our first time hearing from him. He said he's not just a workhorse. He goes, there's a word. There's a term within the business for somebody who's looked at as, you know, kind of that stallion. He goes, it's called a workhorse. They're the ones that go out and have the great matches. He goes, I'm not a workhorse. He goes, I am the workhorse. And in case anybody forgot, in the 7 years that he's gone, he's here to prove that. The only spot on the roster he's interested in is the AEW World Championship. He said Kenny Omega is on borrowed time. And his mission is to cement his legacy and outwork everybody. But he understands that he's going to have to win some matches first before he can go after Kenny Omega and go after the AEW World title. I said last week, I know they teased it, but I wasn't really expecting them to go right into a match with Omega and Christian. Some people were freaking out about it. They were jumping the gun. Calm down. They were just teasing potential different matches for Christian. It never at any point felt like they were going right into that. Kenny Omega has a whole bunch of different people that he's pissed off, that he is feuding with at the moment, including the Impact World Champion, who he's going to be wrestling at their pay-per-view next month in a winner-take-all match against Rich Swann. But I thought the promo was solid. You know, he's talking. The problem is this. Christian is talking himself up. I'm a workhorse. I'm the workhorse. Outwork everybody. And you look at some of the younger guys he's going to be working with on this roster, whether it's Rey Fénix or Jungle Boy or Darby Allin. And I'm not even saying they're better than Christian. Christian obviously has a lot more experience. He's had a lot more success than they have up to this point. But can Christian now, at 47 years old, get in the ring with a guy like a Rey Fénix, you know, in a big singles match and outwork him? You know, you got to be careful. If that's his gimmick, if the whole point is, I'm going to outwork everybody on the roster, then you better make sure when you go out there that you do that. Because otherwise, it's going to kind of look like, oh, look, it's the old guy who can't keep up with the younger guys. So I'm very interested to see what kind of matches Christian can have with some of these guys on this roster. I think they can have very good matches. Is he going to outwork everybody? I don't know about that. But if it's part of his gimmick, unless the idea is that he's going to end up going heel, he better be able to outwork everybody. Because that's all he keeps talking about. It's on his shirt. It's in his promos. It's his catchphrase. So he needs to be able to go out there and do what he's talking about here. And I think that might be a tall order with some of the younger guys here on this roster. Let's take a brief little respite here. I don't want to fall too far behind. I want to make sure that we take a look at some of the super chats here. We'll go through a couple of them because we had so many of them that came in. So let's see what you guys thought of the show here. As we roll on, we got to talk about Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston here. Man, we're going to have a lot of messages to get through tonight. We had Sky. That's right. Sky was the first one. Sky, thank you. Said he's not watching AEW anymore, but he will support the stream. So I know Sky has had his issues with the AEW product. Boston Games. My son took over my account, NWO style. I hope we do become neighbors on Long Island. Then when I see you, I can say, that's got to be him. That's got to be Solomonster. That's right, I made that comment last week. Well, I'm not going anywhere right now. I don't know if you saw the article in the Wall Street Journal. How many of you read the Wall Street Journal? The other day, this big article about home prices. They're up like 400%. I'm like, ugh. I think it'll be a few years before I go anywhere. I don't think I want to jump into this market right now. And Ryan Spies, if they start to break up Team Taz, I'm going to be devastated. To be honest, they're one of the best parts of the show. Yeah, that is something that I have a little something to say about all the Sting stuff. Let's talk about Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston against the Good Brothers, the now former Impact Tag Team Champions, Anderson and Gallows. They lost their titles to Finn Juice, David Finlay, and Juice Robinson at the Impact pay-per-view. Was it last weekend? Not this past week. Was it this past weekend? It might have been this past weekend. I lost track. I lose track of time. there's so much wrestling now. I think it was last weekend. Because we have another pay-per-view coming up this weekend. I'll be back here live again with you after Fastlane on Sunday. We just go from one pay-per-view to the next, to the next. It's this never-ending cycle. We had the Good Brothers attacking Kingston during his entrance. And they're beating on him. Eventually, Jon Moxley comes out, finally. They take him out with a magic killer. Good Brothers took turns beating down Eddie Kingston in the ring. Kingston fired up. Moxley made his way back up onto the apron. But Gallows sent Moxley right back to the floor with a big boot. And the Good Brothers continued beating down on Eddie throughout the break. We're back from break. Exploder suplex by Eddie Kingston allows him to make the hot tag to John Moxley, who comes in. He sends Carl Anderson into the corner with a shotgun dropkick, fights off Doc Gallows, who tried to get involved, takes down Anderson with a lariat and a pile driver for a near fall, takes down Gallows with a weak-looking dive through the ropes. You know, we had Excalibur on the show, as he does every week, with the tope suicida, which just drives me fucking nuts, but hit a suicide dive through the ropes, very weak-looking. It's no Rey Fénix. That's why I lie. I say Rey Fénix and Darby Allin and maybe Jungle Boy. Those are the only people who should be allowed to be doing dives through the middle rope on this show because it actually looks devastating. John Moxley is just kind of throwing his body. He's throwing his butt. Let me tap you and you'll fall backwards. Looks like shit. If you're doing a move and it looks like shit, don't do it. Just don't do it. Because it doesn't look good. Drives me nuts, some of these guys, when they do these moves that everybody else does, but they do it so much better, you would think they would say, maybe I shouldn't be doing that move. Maybe I should find something else. Anyway. Anderson surprised Moxley coming back into the ring with a spine buster. Good Brothers set up for the Magic Killer, but Kingston broke it up. And he and Gallows fought to the floor. And John Moxley cradled Carl Anderson for the win. Just like that. Cradled him for the win. Match is now over. Good Brothers beat down the babyfaces until Kenny Omega and Don Callis come out. Kenny Omega's got a chair in his hand. And Kenny Omega goes to sit down in the chair, but Eddie Kingston comes back into the ring and he clobbers Kenny Omega, knocks him right out of the chair. They start beating down on Kingston. They place a chair, or I should say they place his left ankle, I believe it was, in the chair. They're going to pelmanize his ankle. So they've got Kingston's ankle in the chair, and they come down on top of it with a stomp. They attempted to do the same thing to John Moxley's head. They put his head in the chair. So they were going to pelmanize him on the head and neck. Young Bucks ran out to stop it, and they exchanged some heated words with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega wants them to do the too sweet, and they refuse to do it. They refuse to do it, and the Young Bucks walk off. Moxley, by this point, has now grabbed the chair. He has recovered. He has cleared the ring. And so it appears that what they might be setting up for here is a match with Jon Moxley and the Young Bucks taking on Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. I guess with Eddie Kingston now being hurt, right? He's got an ankle injury. They might be setting up for this as a six-man tag. Question is, are they setting that match up as an actual competitive match? Or is this part of some big swerve? I would think not. We just had a big swerve with the Inner Circle and MJF. To do another big swerve involving a faction would be kind of stupid. So I don't think that's where this is. I think they want you to believe. And I think they will play that angle up. That, are the Bucks... Are you with Kenny? Are you not with Kenny? Are they going to turn on John Moxley? And in the end, they won't. They'll stay babyface. I just think you just did a big swerve in one angle. You don't want to follow that up with another big swerve. But that's me. Then we got to Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone was back for his weekly interview where Sting gets interrupted. It is beyond parody at this point. First of all, Sting doesn't even say anything 90% of the time. But every time Sting comes out to be interviewed by Tony Schiavone, he is interrupted. It doesn't matter where, doesn't matter what the circumstance, what the situation is. It could be somebody different every time. It is beyond parody at this point. The only difference this time is it wasn't just Sting. They also brought out his good buddy, his little buddy, the TNT champion, Darby Allin. And Schiavone asked Darby first. He went to him and he asked him about the TNT championship. And Darby said, it's a joke. I've been the champion since November. of 2020. And he asked the audience, do you know how many times I've defended this title since November of 2020? He goes, three. And the people started cheering, and he goes, no, it's a joke. He goes, I want to be a fighting champion. I want to start defending this title. And that is why, to honor the greatest TNT champion of all time, people started Brody chants. I thought at first they were chanting Cody. Thankfully not. They were chanting Brody for Brody Lee. But he wanted to extend an open challenge to the Dark Order. Any member of the Dark Order, whoever it is, I'll defend my championship on Dynamite next week against a member of the Dark Order. All of a sudden, here comes the first interruption. Lance Archer, who interrupted Sting last week, is back again for an encore. It's Lance Archer and Jake the Snake Roberts. They come out through the tunnel. Sting is observing all of this. He's not saying a fucking thing. He's watching this whole thing, wearing a long sleeve t-shirt. Didn't have his cloak. Didn't have his black trench coat on this week. Here comes Lance Archer. He calls Darby Allin an indie-rific joke. Said that he would put Darby Allin, since he loves coffins and coffin drops so much, he would put him in a coffin. Jake Roberts took the mic, and he said the first thing he said, he called Darby Allin, he made some kind of joke or crack at him about, like, a bun or a hot dog bun in the back, or called him a weenie. Really? Jake Roberts called Darby Allin a weenie. Now, on a show where we had the word shit being thrown around, on a show where we had blood and thumbtacks, and table spots, and ladder spots, we had Jake Roberts calling Darby Allin a weenie. That might have been the biggest surprise of the entire show. So after he called, that's like, what was that time on Raw where John, so he called John Cena called JBL a poopy head. That was one of the low points of Monday Night Raw. Little did I know how much lower it could possibly get. That was only 2008. It could always get much worse. So he called him a weenie. But then Jake turned to Sting and he said, Sting, you know me. He talked about the winds of change are coming, and he warned Sting not to play with fire. But we weren't done yet. Oh no. That was not the only interruption in this segment, because before Sting could say anything, we had from the other, and I love this too, from the other entrance tunnel. So Archer and Jake exit through the right tunnel, and we hear Taz's voice, and through the left tunnel comes Team Taz for the second interruption of this segment. Team Taz comes out. Taz begins talking, but Brian Cage takes the mic away from him, and he walks right up to Sting. And he says, you know, he's got something to say to Sting. And he tells him, I respect you. I was kind of hoping he would say, I respect you, Booker man, but he didn't do that. Because that would not have been accurate. But he says he respects him, and he says, Ricky Starks is wrong. When Ricky Starks says that you're not an icon anymore, he goes, Ricky Starks is wrong. You are an icon. So he's just paying his respects. Total babyface here by Brian Cage, and Taz is freaking out, and Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks, they're all beside themselves. They're all arguing. What are you doing? What are you saying? And Brian Cage just walks off all by himself. So it does look like that they are setting up a breakup. Well, not even necessarily a breakup of the whole group, but Brian Cage, it looks very much like he will soon no longer be part of Team Taz. It looks like that there may be a babyface turn in the works here for Brian Cage. I can't say I'm really a fan of that. I think that feels a little too soon. In fact, I know it's a little too soon. I wonder if that means Taz will repossess his FTW title and take it back. You know, the FTW title that Brian Cage carries around and never defends. I wonder if he'll take the belt back. You may as well use the fucking thing as toilet paper. I don't even know why he... Yeah, I thought that he would defend it here and there. No, maybe he defended it once, I think, on TV. That was about it. Seriously, just use the thing as toilet paper at this point. Just give it back to Taz. Give it back to Taz. He'll put it at home in his little trophy case where it belongs. I mean, what was the point? What was the point? Sting said nothing the entire segment. You know, he just stood there thinking about which day Tony Khan will be direct depositing the money into his account. I don't think Sting is getting a stimulus check. I would assume Tony Khan is paying him a little bit better than that. So he's not waiting on his $1,400 stimulus check. But I do believe that's what Sting... I could see the thought bubble coming out of Sting's head as he was standing there. He wasn't paying attention to anything these guys were saying. Lance Archer, Taz, Brian Cage. You know, he's watching all of this. But you could almost see the thought bubble in his head like, yeah, I wonder, when I get to the back, I'm gonna log into my Chase account and I'm going to see if the money's been direct deposited here for my weekly paycheck. Rey Fénix against Angelico. We had some chain wrestling at the beginning as they went into commercial break. Coming out of it, Fénix made his comeback, hit a somersault cutter. Angelico spun into the Navarro death roll, forcing Fénix to grab the ropes, and Fénix hit a crucifix bomb and the fire thunder driver for the win. So, not a squash, but just a showcase for Rey Fénix. Really nothing more than that. Nothing overly special about it. We had Miro. Miro made the news this past week, in case you didn't know. I talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the sound off on Sunday. Miro got really hot about something that Jim Cornette said apparently about Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian. I saw Kip Sabian literally talk about the fact that when Jim Cornette dies, he is going to throw a party and he is going to celebrate. He's going to celebrate this man's death. And he made it very clear, I'm not joking. He says, I'm being very serious right now. So all of this resulted in Jim Cornette trending on Twitter for over 24 hours. Cornette, I haven't heard his rebuttal, but I'm sure he was just tickled to death at the fact that these guys, mainly Miro, went on social media and was posting all kinds of shit that probably got him exactly what he wanted. But Miro was threatening to drive to his home and go to his basement and beat him up, and he called him a mark or something. Answer me, you mark. Not a good look for Miro. Whether the hate on Cornette was warranted or not, it's almost not even the point. Miro looked like an idiot. But here's Alex Marvez, and he is interviewing Miro. And, you know, he's talking about how his offer to Chuck Taylor has been rescinded. The whole Butler thing, I'm over it. I'm done with this. It's finished. Kip Sabian comes into view and goes, I haven't moved on. I'm not done with them yet. They ruined my wedding. And Sabian also brought up the fact that Miro had accidentally bumped into or caused someone to bump into Penelope Ford, who wasn't there. She's hurt. I know you didn't mean it. Miro was like, oh, so you're blaming me. He goes, no, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying. And Miro told him, look, put his hand on his shoulder and he said, I don't care about you. I don't care about your wife. I only care about my destiny. He goes, I have to be the AEW world champion. It's the only thing that matters to me. And Kip Sabian was, you know, he was trying to be very friendly to him because he knew that Miro would just kill him where he stood. But there was this underlying tension there where you just felt like at any moment, this guy could just snap and absolutely kill this fucker. But Sabian said, look, I want that for you too. I want you to be the world champion too. And then Miro said, but hey, outside the ring, you and I, we're still friends. And then he walked off. The best thing I could say about this, I like this, because we're finally getting more character development with Miro, and we're moving one step closer to Miro being done with this video game bullshit. I know he plays video games on his Twitch, but here on screen, I don't give a fuck that Miro plays video games. I don't care that Kip Sabian plays video games. They're going to have a match next week on Dynamite where arcade games surround the ring. I don't care. I want to see a little bit of what we saw here in this segment, which is the fact that Miro is at some point going to destroy this guy. He is going to move on from this. And then we are going to see what Miro can really bring to the table. We've seen glimpses of it. You know, he's had some good matches, but he hasn't really been involved in anything up to this point that screams that this guy would be worthy of being elevated to a much higher spot on the card. You know, this is the spot for him. Well, you know, this is their way of introducing him into the company. All right, fine. That was the spot that they said will kind of ease you onto the roster doing this lower card stuff. But now the wedding is over. All of this is over. We're still dealing with Miro and Kip and the best friends. I mean, this should be over and done with. We shouldn't be dealing with this anymore. You know, Miro should be putting all their heads through every single arcade game next week. Every fucking one. Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat Ultimate. WrestleFest. Turtles in Time. Whatever fucking arcade they can find. NBA Jam. Boom, 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 boom. Head should be going through every single screen, and then he should be done with this, and he can move on to something else. We saw glimpses of that in this segment. Glimpses of the killer Miro. The Miro that literally is going to find Jim Cornette at his home and try to kill this man. That's the Miro I want to see on TV. So that's what I liked about the segment. And finally, for the first time in Dynamite history, the women got to headline the show, the first ever women's main event in AEW Dynamite history. And they did it in the form of an unsanctioned lights out match, pitting Thunder Rosa against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Right out of the gate, Baker with an air raid crash to Thunder Rosa on the ramp. Doesn't get the winning fall, but that was a hell of a way to start things out. Britt pulls a chair out from under the ring, goes to town on Rosa, but Thunder Rosa comes right back with chair shots of her own. Even took out Rebel. Rebel tried to get involved, and she took out Rebel with one of the chairs. Britt Baker hit a great fucking curb stomp on Thunder Rosa. This looked brutal. Thunder Rosa was kind of crawling up over by the ring steps. You know, the top of the metal grate that you see on top of the ring steps. And Britt Baker just came, and she stomped the shit out of her head. It bounced right off the ring steps. Brutal. Brutal. Best curb stomp I've seen in a while. Thunder Rosa comes up bloody from the forehead as they went to break. Back from commercial, we see Britt Baker superplexing Rosa onto a pile of chairs in the ring, which, you know, if you're hitting a superplex onto a pile of steel chairs, if I'm hitting a superplex on somebody, first of all, it's going to take as much out of me as it is my opponent, let alone if we have weapons and stuff on the floor. You think about it, it's pretty stupid, right? Because it's hurting you every bit as much as it's hurting your opponent. But these women were just throwing no caution to the wind here. They were just beating the hell out of each other. Thunder Rosa then slammed Britt's face onto a ladder that was laying in the ring, so face first. I think that's what opened her up, or... yeah, she bladed after that, whatever it was. But Rosa then drop kicked a ladder bridge into Britt's face. So Britt was in the corner, like you would be if you were going to get a stink face or the Bronco Buster. But there was a ladder bridge right in front of her. And that's what Thunder Rosa drop kicked into her face. Baker comes up bleeding. So now both women are bleeding. Thunder Rosa, not so much. But Britt Baker comes up bloody. You see little puddles of blood in the corner on the floor where she was. Thunder Rosa, meanwhile, while the camera is on Britt and the blood in the ring, Thunder Rosa's outside the ring setting up a table. Actually, I think she set up a couple of tables, both of which would come into play. Rosa gets back into the ring. She starts biting the cut on Britt's head, which is very unsanitary here in the age of COVID. I mean, come on. Can't be doing that. So Britt Baker recovers, and she flatlines Rosa face first onto the ladder. And Britt is just struggling to her feet. She is wearing the proverbial crimson mask. She is just pouring blood. I mean, it's if you're going to do a match like this and you're going to get blood, I will say, this is the way to get blood. You don't get like a little tiny cut. If you're going to do it, you got to go all the way. And these women, especially Britt, it made for a fantastic visual. I know it might turn off some people, but if you're going to do a match like this and you're going to get blood, you better get blood. And I will say one thing, Britt Baker did not, actually spared no expense here, going all out to get blood here in this match. So now Britt is climbing the ropes. Thunder Rosa catches her and delivers a top rope Death Valley driver to a ladder that is laying flat in the ring. Death Valley driver onto the ladder. Britt kicks out. And Britt Baker recovers. She curb stomps Thunder Rosa onto a steel chair that was it open? No, it wasn't open. It was flat. But she curb stomps her onto the chair, only gets a near fall. Rebel hands a small black pouch to Britt Baker. And you can imagine what was inside. She opens up the sack. So Britt has the sack in her hand, and she turns it over, and out pours all the thumbtacks, all the little metal projectiles, thousands of thumbtacks strewn all over the ring. When was the last time we saw a women's match where they went the Foley Funk route, and you had the double juice and you had the thumbtacks? I mean, in this country, in like a major promotion, I don't know that I've ever seen that before. I can't think of one. I'm not talking about Japan or Mexico. I'm talking about here in a major company. I don't know that we've ever seen that before. So we have thumbtacks all over the canvas. Britt Baker goes for her swinging neck breaker, but Thunder Rosa fights out. She avoids a crutch shot from Rebel, who took a really poor-looking swing with the crutch. But Rosa was able to duck that. She cracked Rebel with the crutch and then drop-kicked Rebel from the apron, off the apron, down through one of the tables that was set up at ringside. So that takes out Rebel. Rebel took a table bump. She's out of the picture. Britt Baker gets powerbombed onto the thumbtacks. She just gets slammed right onto him. But she kicks out. Britt Baker kicks out of a powerbomb onto thumbtacks. And as soon as she... And I was thinking to myself, I wonder. Are they real thumbtacks? I am of the impression that they were. They're not rubber-tipped. I only think this because, you know, when Sandman, for example, was in WCW, he was Hardcore Hack, they gave him rubber-tipped barbed wire. They would not let him use real barbed wire. So you can gimmick the stuff up a little bit. The telltale sign, of course, is that as soon as Britt Baker rolls over, you know, after she kicks out, she rolls over, and you can see her back is starting to bleed. You can see where all the thumbtacks were stuck in her back. She's bleeding. I go, nope, those are thumbtacks. Those are definitely real thumbtacks. So Britt ends up putting the lockjaw on Thunder Rosa. She puts Thunder Rosa. Now they're laying in the tacks, and she's got her in lockjaw. And the only way for Thunder Rosa to get out of this move is to roll over. So that way Britt Baker is now back first onto the thumbtacks, and that is what she was able to do to break the hold. Britt Baker hit a thrust kick. A very appropriate super chat just popped up from Minoru Suzuki saying, "I will murder." That's what these women did here in this match. They murdered each other. This is a match. This was the main event tonight that Minoru Suzuki would be very proud of. I think Suzuki-san would actually have great respect for what these women put themselves through in this main event tonight. I think he would give them the seal of approval. Now I want to see Minoru Suzuki show up on Dynamite and have this kind of match with Jon Moxley, right? We've already seen them have one match. I want to see them wrestle again. But Britt Baker hit a thrust kick, and she brings Thunder Rosa out onto the apron for the big finale. They're on the apron. Britt Baker goes to climb to the top rope, and Thunder Rosa catches her up there and counters it, whatever Britt was going to try. She maneuvers her into position as she's on the apron. And down below is a table that Thunder Rosa had set up earlier on. And she gives her a Fire Thunder Driver through the table. If you go back and you watch it when she drops her for the Fire Thunder Driver, I mean, she dropped Britt right on top of her head. I even could have sworn I heard a thump. Head first, right through the table with the Fire Thunder Driver. And Thunder Rosa covers Britt Baker on the floor for the win. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the greatest women's match in AEW history. I didn't hate the Jon Moxley-Kenny Omega match as much as I thought maybe I would. And, you know, the stuff that happened when the match was over, technically the match was already over. So I'm not saying they had a bad match. I enjoyed this far more than I enjoyed the Moxley-Omega match or Revolution. I just thought this was exactly what it needed to be. It shocked me the level of brutality that these women put themselves through. I had heard rumors that, okay, this match, because it was taped last week, I had heard that this is really good, you're going to want to go out of your way to watch it. But you always hear stuff like that. I'm sure everybody in the company always thinks their shit don't stink. Oh, this is a great match, right? And then you watch it, and it's like, yeah, it was all right. Well, they knocked it out of the park. This is a match that people are going to remember for a very long time. And this was the best match. I can't say it was the best match of Thunder Rosa's career. Thunder Rosa has had a lot of really great matches that I've seen her in. And I haven't seen all of her matches. But this, I can tell you without even seeing all of Britt Baker's matches that she had, you know, before she came to AEW. This was the best match of Britt Baker's life. And it earned her some cred. It earned her character, I think, some credibility. Usually she's the chicken shit heel. She's got Rebel there to help her out. But if you watch the match, I mean, she kicked out of some pretty big moves. You know, she was able to kick out of a lot of big spots on the thumbtacks. She got powerbombed onto the thumbtacks and she kicked out. So I think that this was a win all around. Thunder Rosa gets her revenge. This is a great payoff and a great, climax to this feud now. This has to be the capper here. This has to be the end. So I think it puts a lid on this in the best possible way. But even in defeat, Britt Baker ends up coming out of this looking like $1 million, because now she can go around talking about how I'm the toughest woman in AEW. Look at all the abuse that I took. You know, Thunder Rosa, you were the better woman on that night, but, you know, you cheated. You had to do this or whatever excuse she wants to come up with. But I just think that it at the end, when it was over, everybody came out of this the winner. Even though Britt Baker lost, I think everybody comes away from this as better off than they were when they came in. Maybe not physically. But I think this was a fantastic main event. Far more brutal than I expected it to be. And for me, it saved the show. Because without this main event, this is a very ho-hum, honestly, very dull show. I was not really a fan of Dynamite this week until we got to the main event. The main event pushed it over the edge for me. That made this show must-see. If you watch nothing else from this show, if you are tuning into my review and you did not watch Dynamite, and you're wondering, is there anything going back and worth watching? Nothing on the show is overly offensive, but if you want to watch one thing, it's this main event. Don't worry about anything else. Make sure you watch this main event. Great, great, great stuff. Cannot say enough good things about it. Now, next Wednesday on Dynamite, we've got Nyla Rose one-on-one against Tay Conti. We've got FTR and Sean Spears taking on Varsity Blondes and Dante Martin of Top Flight. I believe Darius is out, if I'm not mistaken, with a knee injury. Although I might be thinking of the acclaimed Anthony Bowens. Maybe they're both out with knee injuries. I know at least one of them, if not both of them, I think are dealing with some kind of injury. But in any event, Varsity Blondes and Dante Martin. Darby Allin defends the TNT title against John Silver of the Dark Order. And Kenny Omega will have his non-title match. They're calling it a world title eliminator against Matt Sydal. If Sydal wins, he will get a championship match against Kenny Omega. I guess leapfrogging whoever is in the number one spot in the rankings, I guess. That's your lineup for next Wednesday. Let's take a look at what you guys thought of both these shows tonight. I have a feeling this AEW poll is going to be very heavily influenced by that main event. And sure enough, it is. 87.6% thumbs up. 12.4% thumbs down. So that is a tremendous score. I have to think that were it not for that main event, that score would be a lot lower than it is. Well, maybe not a lot lower, but it would definitely be lower than it is. And over on the NXT side, 65% roughly, thumbs up, to 35.2% thumbs down at Solomonster. That is the place to go to vote. And you should be following me on there anyway. I don't know why you're not following me on there. I have a lot of really bright things to say. Plus, I keep all you guys posted about any show updates and other stuff. WWE Network migration that's going on. So, at Solomonster, that's the place to follow me. The Genius. The Genius in the chat says, Jason, 69 me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I have to just draw the line. There's just some requests that I just can't fulfill. I'm sorry. But yeah, before I get to the super chats, and by the way, you can send in a super chat. If you do, I will read them. There is a brand new $30 Christian one for those of you who are inclined. If not, that's cool. But they are there for those who want to support the channel. Tomorrow is the official launch date on Peacock for the WWE Network, or at least the WWE content that's going to be on Peacock. Tomorrow is launch day. And I got a notice in my email earlier. So for those of you who are WWE Network subscribers wondering if you should cancel now, you don't want to be billed, take heed of what I am about to tell you. I got an email telling me that my subscription, when my subscription is over, that will be it for me on the network. I don't believe I will have network access anymore, even though the network, I believe, is terminating in this country on April 4th. My understanding is that on the final date of my billing cycle, I will no longer have access to the standalone network, and I will have no choice but to use Peacock. For me, that date is next Wednesday. So a week from today, March 24th, I believe, is the last time that I will have access, unless I'm misunderstanding what was sent to me. That will be my last day of access of the WWE Network, so I'm kind of pissed because I've been trying to speed through some of the classic stuff, and now my understanding is I won't have access to it anymore in a week. So just be aware of that. I believe that if they do bill you, they'll reimburse you. I wouldn't worry about that so much. I'm more just concerned about the classic content that just, you know, how long is it going to take for them to get that up? They're saying by SummerSlam, they're saying by August, everything will be up. I don't know that I believe them. I'm very skeptical. So anyway, that's your network update. It launches tomorrow. If you want to see how it's going to look, if you want to check out the navigation and the user interface on Peacock, tomorrow is the day to go ahead. And that will give you a sense of what you can expect going forward, because tomorrow is the big day, but the network will not officially be dead here in this country until April 4th. And that is when they will pull the plug, and you will have no choice but to go to the cock. That is the only place where you will be able to get access to the network. You heard it here first. All right, let's go through some of your messages here. I'm like a child. I'm like a five-year-old child. I can't help myself. I would fit in well on that WWE creative team. I feel like they're full of people who are about 5 years old. All right. Ryan Spies, again, thank you for all your support. He also liked Miro's development in his character tonight in that promo. Lord Frieza dropped $25 earlier and said that his father is dealing with COVID. So he has been absent from some of the recent streams. So again, I hope his father improves and starts to feel better very soon. That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. And thank you for this. We all love Lord Frieza. Everybody in the chat right now knows Lord Frieza. So let's send him some good vibes, him and his father and his family. Hopefully his dad will be, if he isn't already, his dad will be completely 100% healthy again very soon. Oz and Glorious, thank you for the five. Also sending some good vibes to Lord Frieza. Joe Olivo, thank you for the 20 spot, my friend. I appreciate that. Rosa and Baker stole the show. I feel like that this match is the end of the feud. To me, Rosa should be challenging for the AEW Women's title at Double or Nothing. Well, they did cut to Hikaru Shida in the back briefly during that match. She was watching. She was watching on a monitor. Thunder Rosa got the win. It would seem that they are setting up a match between Thunder Rosa and Hikaru Shida. Are they going to wait until the end of May to do it? I don't know if they could wait that long without Shida defending the championship, but they certainly were teasing that here on this show. Giovanni Zarate, again, thank you for the $110 super chat. I'm fairly positive. I wasn't paying attention to every single one that came in, but I assume that you are the leader for the night. Says they earned that main event and delivered. Cheers for women's wrestling. Thank you again. Original Project with the $50 super chat. Wow. I missed that one. That woman's match might be top tier of all time. It actually made this show tonight. It's way up there. You know, on top of the fact that they were just using weapons and stuff and there was blood, I thought the match was good. I mean, there weren't any major screw-ups or anything like that. It was worked like a match between two women who hated each other's guts and were trying to maim each other because they don't like each other. And they were willing to put themselves through a lot of abuse and pain and suffering in order to beat their opponent. And that really should be the whole point. So I thought the match itself was just very well worked. And I, again, by far the best I've ever seen Britt Baker in the ring. Now, it was a taped show, so they did have the benefit of editing out any botches or ugliness. So we have to keep that in mind. It did not air live. It is very possible it was tightened up and edited, but even so, I thought it was a great match. Jacob Barnes. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Solomonster. I got my green. I'm feeling green. I'm in a festive mood. Zach Reyna, thank you for the 10 spot. Announcement, Eddie Kingston is still selling. In all seriousness, these women killed it tonight, so is it time for a Britt Baker title run? I think it is, but it would seem as if Thunder Rosa might get the nod first, since she won. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the $55 super chat. Caught the last hour of the show. That main event was fantastic. Just awesome. Dry chicken without flavor. Britt Baker against Thunder Rosa lights out equals AEW's match of the year nomination or candidate. I agree. Still early in the year, but I agree. Jealous69, thank you for the $5. See? Jealous. Jealous just 69'd me. It was bound to happen. Sometimes you just gotta go with the flow. Dop Dop, thank you for the $5. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa had a great match, and I have gained a lot of respect for Britt Baker taking the thumbtacks. Was the lights-out stipulation needed? I mean, they could have called it anything. They could have called it just a Falls Count Anywhere match. I mean, to me, it was just a gimmick to get people to tune in. That doesn't bother me. That was a total ratings ploy, hyping this unsanctioned match. You know, we're not responsible for what happens. Anything can go wrong. That was just, you know, and putting them in the main event like that, purely a rating stunt. I have no problem with that. And I'm very curious to see how this show and how this main event performed. You know, the women being in the main event for the ladies is a big deal. I would think this match probably did better than the average Dynamite main event, if only because of the stipulation. If they, you know, dropped a ton, that's not a good sign as far as people's interest in this women's division, but I guess we'll find out tomorrow afternoon. Very interesting number that Dynamite is going to do this week. There's Jealous again. Why the hell does Gallows look like an order of orange chicken from Panda Express with all of that tanner and oil? Hashtag Sex Ferguson. You know, I could say the same thing about MJF. What is it with the self-tanner around the ears and not other parts of his head? Like, if he, I've seen that with The Miz. Like, some of these guys, they use the self-tanner, and it looks fucking awful. Sheamus has the right idea. I guess he can't help it, but, like, Sheamus just, whatever. He goes out there, he's, you know, white as a sheet. That would be me. What is with the self-tanner? It just, do people think that looks good? You look at their ears and their hands and shit, and you could see it looks like orange slime. It's like they've been slimed. It's a horrible look. Stop doing that. Cosmetically, it does not look good. You would look better with your natural complexion. Either that or find somebody who can put your fucking tanner on for you. Don't they have a makeup person backstage there? I agree. It looks awful. Dregs, thank you for the double chat. Double super chat. I found the real culprit for the AEW Revolution main event. It was the ex-WWE pyro guy who set Undertaker ablaze and almost killed Jeff Hardy with his pyro. Do you think Ethan Page's promotion, Alpha One, would have a partnership with AEW while it also has a partnership with Impact? I think AEW can partner with whoever they want to. It's entirely up to Tony Khan. I wasn't even aware of Alpha One. This is the first I'm hearing of it, so I didn't even know he had his own promotion. Ryan Spice, thank you for the five. Paul White should honestly replace Jim Ross on Dynamite. He seems like he actually cares about the product, unlike JR, most of the time. Jared M., thank you for the $65. I think he was the one who scared the hell out of me. That was the Big Show one, right? With the whole the chokeslam thing? I forgot I put audio on that one. That scared the fuck out of me. Thank you, Jared. Dry Chicken Without Flavor. I believe AEW Dark Elevations show for 2 hours on purpose just in case wrestling fans got bored with mundane Night Raw last Monday. Well, even still, it's too fucking long and they need to not do that. So they need to definitely cut down on the length. You have two shows now. That's the whole point. It allows you to not have 17 matches on one show where it's just match, 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 and they're all squashes. They're not even that good. If you're a talent scout, maybe you could sit there through that every week. I don't know how people could possibly sit through that every single week. But hey, if you can, more power to you. I'm certainly not going to be doing that. Dregs. Old news, but Mercedes Martinez asked to leave Retribution and go back to NXT because she didn't want to get her son infected from the virus, and she thought that the stable was shit. I refuse to believe that she was not smart enough to understand that this group was absolute garbage and was going to do nothing to further her career. So whether it was that or her son or whatever she may be claiming, and, you know, that probably had something to do with it because she wasn't punished, right? They agreed to it. They sent her back. She knew. Mercedes Martinez, I'm sure, is not a dumb person. Mercedes Martinez got out when the going was good. Look at where Retribution is now. You don't think that woman is looking at that going, phew, I dodged a huge bullet there. Give me a break. Give me a break. She is very, very thankful for not being part of that shit show. And if she isn't, then she should be. Dry Chicken Without Flavor. I believe AEW Dark Elevation was two. Did you send that twice? He did. He actually sent that twice. Dry Chicken. Are you drunk? Thank you for the 10. I appreciate it, though. Dregs again. AEW Revolution main event. Pyro looks worse than MTV Wrestling Society X Pyro with Vampiro, Ricky Banderas, Matt Sydal, and X-Pac. I remember that. I remember watching a couple of episodes of that. Right, wasn't there like a big explosion or something involving Teddy Hart on one of the episodes? And then I remember Eric Bischoff was part of something. There was some kind of, and it didn't go anywhere. I think they were trying to get a TV show. They shot a pilot for this thing called Mat Rats. I vaguely remember this. Dregs again. Why is it AEW always takes shots at WWE, but when you criticize AEW on YouTube, they copyright people's YouTube channels? Well, they're probably using video that they aren't allowed to use. That would be my guess. They're not copywriting people who have different opinions from them. Believe me, I had a lot of stuff to say about that Revolution show. Okay, a lot of people said negative stuff about AEW. They didn't get struck. There's certain content that you're not allowed to use. And if you think it's a fair use issue, then you have to take it up with YouTube. But usually it has to do with video. I've spoken to people in AEW about this before. I had my own issue with them, if you recall, last year, the beginning of the year. And it was a misunderstanding and it was taken care of. And they made it very clear to me that the only thing they care about is if people use their video without their consent. So if people are getting into trouble, it likely has something to do with that. And if not, then they should be appealing to YouTube. Because if you are in the right, you can protest that. Legally, you can protest. There's a form you fill out. It's a whole thing. And, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, you did nothing wrong, then you put the protest in and usually it gets fixed. Magician Sapphire, Britt and Rosa deserve mad respect for that banger of a match. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $15. I heard from Naif earlier today. Always supporting the show and looking out for yours truly. Naif with actually the double. Look at this. Everyone's like double fisting. I only got my one mug here. People are double fisting on Super Chats tonight. Thank you. Thank you for the $30. Dr. Marek with the $5. I just filled an app to... Oh, he just filled an app for the Nightmare Family. They accepted me before I even turned the damn thing in. I bet they did. They're accepting new members. Family is getting bigger and bigger. Ken Terminated, I want to thank you for responding my YouTube comment. Forget Flair. Solomonster is the man. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for that. Lance Morrell with the $5. Main event was cool. If there is a future rematch, it should be for the AEW women's title. I agree. Ryan Spies, NWA coming back and immediately bringing in someone being sued for sexual harassment. Tyrus is one of the worst possible things they could have done. Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, at least wait until that whole thing is resolved. You know, it's being, litigated right now. When I heard that they were bringing him in, especially now when he's still in the middle of all that, that just seems like a fucking boneheaded move to me. I don't know who made that call, but that's pretty dumb on their part. I don't get that. Plus, who the fuck is clamoring to see Tyrus in the ring anyway? I mean, you would think like, oh, well, this person's such a great wrestler. We're willing to overlook this little legal issue that they're in the middle of right now because he's so great. When was the last time anybody said, I'm dying to see Tyrus in the ring? Where's the Funkasaurus? We got to get him back in the ring. Who made that call? I agree. It's very, very stupid. Very dumb. Oz and Glorious. Spears put Sammy through a chair last week. Looking forward to seeing him eat the pins for Pinnacle. You know what? That might be the reason why he's in the group. He may be there to eat the pins and do the job. Dried chicken without flavor. I want to see the Pinnacle hold all the current NWA titles. Nick Aldis needs to drop the title belt. It needs to show up on Dynamite on TNT. Rizzo. It is very telling that Sean Spears is one of the few, if not only, WWE guys that was let go without hesitation when he asked. Actually, I think he was the last one. And I think after him is when they started telling people, no, we're not going to let you go. Chris Amaro, that MJF promo reminded me of the Triple H introducing Evolution promo on Raw many years ago. Teron Riddick, thank you for the $4.99. Wardlow is like the Lex Luger of this group. They turn on him eventually and he has to beat them all to get to MJF, probably for the world title, and there is Nia's hole. Covering up the super chat. So nobody can see it, but thankfully I can still see. Matthew with the $8, would you rather take a powerbomb onto the tacks or that bump that Adam Cole took on the chairs against Aleister Black? See, I'm smart, and I wouldn't want to take any of those bumps. That's why I'm here. That's why we're talking about the bumps. I like talking about the bumps. I have no interest in taking the bumps. But if I was so inclined where I had to make a choice between the two, I would rather go for the chairs bump that Adam Cole took rather than having little pieces of metal piercing my flesh. That would seem to be the sensible answer. Pedro Velasquez. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Sala Monster. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you too, Pedro. You like the little hat that I put on in the artwork before? We'll go back to it. But the little hat that I put, the little leprechaun hat that I put on Pentagon, I think it's a good look for him. JKin62. Did you watch Joker yet? No. It's on my watch list. I promise you I will watch it. I have not seen it, no. Ross Hope, thank you for the $6. The Genius, which title would you rather have, the 24/7 or the FTW? The FTW belt doesn't look too bad. So that's an easy one for me. Brian Gates, thank you for the 10 spot. Solomonster, please look up Technical Work Rate Productions and Jay Rants to get a good laugh. Okay. The comedic genius, JBL, is poopy. Terrible. Frost. Finally, AEW gave these women due respect. Powerful one with the 5. This was a star-making performance for Britt Baker. If she is not the one to take the title off of Sheeta after this, there is something wrong with these people. Well, it might be Thunder Rosa. They might do babyface against babyface. Otherwise, I would agree. Dry Chicken, Britt Baker against Thunder Rosa match is a perfect example of what AEW needs to create moments for the women's division. Well, they certainly did that tonight. Sohail, what is the point of all these factions and families? Inner Circle, Nightmare Family, MJF's faction, Being the Elite. Thoughts? They like their factions. You forgot Matt Hardy's group. You forgot the Dark Order. You forgot the Nightmare Triangle. Or I'm mixing groups now. Death Triangle. You were only scratching the surface when it came to all the groups that you were naming. It is a lot. It is definitely a lot. And I do think that they have to be a little careful with that. I would not be adding any more groups. I think we're all grouped out right now. We don't need any more factions. They have gone very faction heavy. They have an obsession with it. The one faction I would get rid of is this Nightmare Family stuff. I know the Nightmare Family is like, it's a real thing, but it doesn't have to be a thing on TV. Juan Ocampo, not as great as the Melina versus Alicia Fox match. You know what? You're right. But I would say that tonight's main event was second best behind Melina and Alicia Fox. So, thank you for correcting me. Pedro Velasquez, Salamas, your Shane 2021 impression was hilarious. Any doctor would be worried for that man. I am really not excited for that match. It wasn't really much of an impression. This is my Shane McMahon impression whenever I see him doing promos on TV. Two minutes into that match with Braun Strowman at WrestleMania, you'll see. He'll be perspiring, red in the face. The only reason he gets cleared to wrestle and to perform is the fact that his last name is McMahon. That is the only reason. If that were anybody else blowing up the way that he does, they would not be cleared to compete. They would be sent home. Food Hive. Solomonster, you the man. Random question, do you like chicken fried steak? I have never had chicken fried steak, but that sounds pretty good. I would think chicken fried steak is something I would like very much. Look, I didn't have chicken and waffles for the first time until one of the Sound Off meetups. One of you guys, and I don't remember who it was, convinced me at the beer hall where I was hosting the event. It was in the summer, probably 2 or 3 years ago. And they had chicken and waffles, fried chicken and waffles on the menu. And I just thought chicken and waffles. Those two don't go together. And one of you said, no, you got to try it. It's amazing. And so I tried it for the first time in front of some of my listeners. And I thought to myself, how have I been deprived of this my entire life? I said, it's a good thing I have been, or else I'd be 500 pounds. I wouldn't be able to eat anything else. But I was only exposed to chicken and waffles a couple of years ago. So I'm playing catch up on a lot of this stuff. Chicken fried steak I've never had. But it does sound good. Fallout Just Cause with the $5 Super Chat. Thank you, Fallout. So hail again. Will Christian reach his potential in AEW? Your opinion as to why Vince never saw anything in him like he did with Edge. Well, if you remember the stories, I think Vince thought Christian was ugly. Remember the blue dot story that I think JBL has told? He thought they wanted to do an angle where they put a blue dot over Christian's face on TV because he thought Christian was just fucking ugly. So I don't get the sense that, I don't get the sense Vince McMahon ever really thought much at all about Christian, to be honest with you. Let's see here. Plus Edge just, I don't know. Edge just had a certain look to him. He just kind of looked like the kind of guy they would push. You know, a little bit of Shawn Michaels. I don't know. From day one, it just seemed like Edge was going to be the one to get the big push. But I think they both ended up doing pretty well for themselves. Christian became a world champion too. Marty Jannetty never became a world champion, so you can't say that Christian was the Jannetty of the team. They both had great success. Christian left, he went, became the NWA champion, right, in TNA for a while, and came back and was the ECW champion, a world heavyweight champion, and now he's in AEW, so I think he'd have a pretty good career for himself. Oz and Glorious, Jake calling Darby a weenie, got a pop out of me. Hilarious and just happy to see him seemingly getting over the COPD. Dregs, here's a sad fact, Solo Monster. Nick Buck, Aunt Becky from Full House, Dana White, and I have in common. We share a birthday with Soulja Boy. Crank that. Brian Gates. AEW has more factions than WWE has good bookers and over baby faces. Dried Chicken. Jay White all the way for the New Japan Cup. Fallout. Girlfriend used to watch you all the time with me before she passed. Made her enjoy wrestling more. I'm very sorry to hear that. I did not know that. But that's very cool. That's very cool that you're watching me now and she used to. And again, I'm very sorry to hear that she's no longer with us. But thank you for the support. I really do appreciate that. Oz and Glorious. Christian always looks like he just ate a lemon slice. Yeah. He does. I was going to try something here. Let me see if I could do this. I don't know if this will work while I'm, talking about the blue dot. Made me want to try to create a blue dot here. Don't know if I'll be able to do this, though. Probably not. But let's see. I'm going to see if I can create... Oh. Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not do that. I was going to do the Christian. Put a blue dot over my face. All right. So I think we're all... we got another one. The comedic genius. Hey, Solo Monster. Would you rather be a weenie or a... Now we're getting ridiculous now. A weenie or a poopy? What is this? TVY7 now? Is this stream rated G? Eduardo, I see his super chat coming in. As a proud Houstonian, I can gladly say we had the best WrestleMania in history, WrestleMania X7. It's tough to argue that point, top to bottom. you know, WrestleMania X7 being the best WrestleMania of all time. I mean, if it's not that one, then I'd love to know what is. In terms of all the key matches on the show, big crowd, 68,000 people, peak of the Attitude Era, right? It all just came together on that show. Greatest WrestleMania they've ever done. Hard to say otherwise. Oz and Glorious with the $5. I'm hoping Marty Scurll shows up in AEW soon. There, I said it. Well, you're the only one. I have no need to see him. They would be fucking stupid if they brought him in. Marty Scurll showed up at the New Japan Strong Show, one of the tapings they did a while back. They shot an angle with him and Rocky Romero, and there was a lot of backlash. Never even aired, but there was a lot of backlash, and so New Japan dropped the whole thing. They're not going to air it, and they're not planning on doing anything with Marty Scurll. So from a PR perspective, why AEW would even consider getting into bed with this guy and bringing him in, they would be complete fucking fools. Like NWA, wanting to do anything with anybody who's in the middle of being accused of some of the things that Tyrus is accused of. You know, they're trying to build goodwill with their audience, and they're making this big comeback. Why would you do that? Why would you feed the fire and give people ammunition to kind of call you out and say, wait a minute, what are they doing here? But again, it goes back to what I said. Who in their right mind is sitting around going, boy, you know, the one person I really miss seeing in the ring is the fucking Funkasaurus, man. What's that guy up to? I can't wait to see him again. Idiots. Sheer idiocy. See, look at the little hat. Look at the little hat. Shout out to Steve Mello for putting the little hat on Pentagon there. Don't forget the pipe. Not that kind of pipe, but the pipe that Cody has. That's a different pipe. Look at that. Cody's got a kid coming soon. You know, Cody was laying pipe, and now he's going to be a dad very soon. So that's why he looks so happy there in the image. All right, so again, thank you for the super chats, and you can still send them in if you want to. I'll read them. We got a lot of support tonight, ton of super chats, and what we're going to do here, I'm going to take a quick pause. We're not leaving yet. We're not done yet. Oh, no, I told you guys we're going to take phone calls. I want to hear from some of you. We won't take too many of them, but we will take some. I'll get the number on the screen in just a second. If you want, the phone number is always in the video description down below. 989-282-SOLO. So if you ever forget the number, it's also down in the text description. So just a little FYI. I'm going to go set the lines up, and we'll get going on that. Dry chicken without flavor. So much Jameson mixed drink cocktail tonight. I am recovering while eating corned beef. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Solemn Monster. You know, the one thing I do miss, not being at work and working from home, every year, I'm in the city when I work. I haven't been in the city in a year, but I'm in Manhattan and I'm working. And invariably on St. Patrick's Day, which always fell right in the middle of the week, I'd look out my window of my office and I would see these drunken fools, because we have an Irish pub down the block, and here come these drunken fools. One of them, I swear to God, walked right into a fire hydrant one year and kind of keeled over, and then ended up just laying on the ground and was kind of hugging I forgot what it's called. Fire hydrant. I was gonna say fire extinguisher. He's like hugging the fire extinguisher like it's his long lost girlfriend or something. You see other people walking down the sidewalk, and they're like, bleh. They just came from like a Monday Night Raw viewing party or something. Bleh. They're throwing up all over the place, fucking corned beef and chowder and corn and bits of shit coming out of their mouth. That's what makes me think of St. Patrick's Day every year. I kind of miss that. I didn't get to see any of that being at home this year. So, let us go to your calls here. We'll try to take a few, because I know it's been a few weeks. Let's go to area code 903.
Hey, Saul Monster. Hey, this is Nathan from Texas. How you doing, man? Long-time listener.
Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate that.
Hey, I was a few things. AEW Dynamite was, you know, I agree with you. It was a pretty weak show up until the main event. The main event was phenomenal. You know, I think it's great for the women because it basically opens up kind of the opportunity for more death matches. I almost feel like AEW is kind of becoming like kind of like a semi death match type of promotion. And so, like, I was just thinking, like, two words. Like Riho Deathmatch. Like, could you fucking imagine?
I can actually. Like, Riho and Maki Ito. I can see that as a deathmatch. Absolutely.
It'd be wild. But I guess I want to talk to you about Christian Cage. Like, Christian Cage is someone who, you know, I thought he was really underrated. He is underrated. And I think, like, in WWE, he really didn't get his fair share. And the guy's like 47. And you kind of wonder how he would work, like, being a guy his age. But, like, you know, you look at, like, let's say, like New Japan, for example, like Tanahashi's out there, like, throwing out, like, banger matches, like, and he's, like, in his mid-40s, you know? So it's totally possible.
It's possible. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying he's been out of the ring for so long. He is older. And even when Christian was on the roster, he was very good. I mean, Christian was a very good wrestler, but there's so many, like, the style now is so much faster. And can he keep up, you know, in the ring with some of these guys to where when his match is over, people are like, oh, wow, you know, Christian is the one who really stood out here. You make claims like that. I'm going to outwork everybody. You know, I'm going to be the hardest worker of anybody in the ring, anybody in the company. I'm just saying you have to be able to go in there and back it up. He's probably pretty excited to get right in there and try. Is he going to succeed? I think he'll do well. I just would not be making, I wouldn't necessarily be making claims like that unless the idea is that he's going to go heel. Then that's a whole other story. You can make any claims you want to because you're going to go heel, right? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder because I guess that motto he has, it almost sounds like kind of like a heel veteran, like kind of, I don't know, like kind of gimmick, if you will, you know, outwork everyone. Like that just seems, yeah, I guess like someone big league guy.
It just feels very forced. I never heard him say that ever before until he came to AEW. And now it's like his whole shtick is, you know, Christian. I outwork everybody else. I never heard him even really say that before. But look, he's latched onto it as his new catchphrase. And now we'll see what he can do once he's in the ring. I mean, my understanding is he's going to be wrestling regularly on TV. I don't know when his first match is going to be. It should be coming up in the next few weeks. So he's not in on like a Brock Lesnar schedule. So we're going to get to see Christian work with a lot of different people on the roster. Big guys, smaller guys, luchadors. We'll see. We'll see what he can do. You know, he's missed 7 years, but he looked good in the Royal Rumble. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, it was great talking to you. And if you haven't watched that Tanahashi Shingo match from, I think it was like end of January.
No, I saw
early
it.
February.
I did see it.
And incredible.
Yeah, when he dropped him right on his head.
Yeah. Like Tanahashi is still, I think, like probably still like one of the best in the world, man. Like, and the guy's beat the hell up. Like he's incredible.
He's a legend.
But he really is. Yeah. Anyways, thank you, man. Wonderful show.
Thank you, man. Take care. Have a
appreciate
good night.
Talk.
Yep. We got some more super chats here. I want to make sure I get to dried chicken without flavor. Just as I predicted, AEW will be going back on the road in September. It is safe to say AEW All Out could be the last pay-per-view at Daly's Place. So what has happened is that they have delayed some of their road shows to September. That does not mean they are going to go on the road in September. That means they are hopeful that by September they'll be able to go on the road. It is very possible we get to the end of the summer and they have to push them back again. So fingers crossed that we can get to that point. But with this pandemic and with the way certain places, you know, have different regulations and different states operate in different ways. I mean, look at Florida, right? Compared to the rest of the country. I would not get my hopes up too much. I could, you know, be hopeful, but I would not get my hopes up too much. They've now pushed these dates back a whole bunch of times. It is possible they can push them back even more. I don't even know what the new date is for the Newark show. They were going to have a Newark show a year ago this month. Blood and Guts. Dynamite in Newark, New Jersey. I don't even know what the new date is. Dregs, do you know if AEW has any sponsors? I hope they are not bleeding money with all these signings and bloated budget. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have several sponsors. I don't know who they are offhand, but I would think Tony Khan has a budget. He knows that he has to work within that budget, and I think he knows what he's doing. Right? He runs two other sports franchises. I think he knows about budgets. I don't know that AEW has ever released anybody. I'm trying to think of all the talent they've signed. Have they gotten rid of a single person yet? One that I can think of. But aside from Jimmy Havoc, I don't know that they have gotten rid of anybody. And you would think at some point that bubble has to burst. They have a lot of talent under contract. I believe Jimmy Havoc is the only one they've ever let go of. Let's go to our good buddy, Jared.
Jason, Shannon Tweed's married to Gene Simmons. I believe she's retired now from those Skinamanics porn.
That's right. She is. That's right. That's right. From that reality show. She is married to him. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. They're not married. They're not married. They have that other type of union.
The other type.
Officially married.
The other type of union. What union might that be?
Open I don't marriage? Know. Two people living together. I don't know what Gene Simmons does, whatever he does, but she still looks good at 55 years old. I'm sure she's had some work done, but yes, I remember those movies. Good times.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right, so a quick update here. Uffman says the AEW Newark show is set for September 15th, and a few people mentioned Kylie Rae as somebody that the company has released. See, I don't count that because Kylie Rae asked for her release. I'm talking like...
She asked for a release.
Yeah,
last year.
I'm talking about people like the company has fired or
Jimmy
released.
Jimmy Havoc, that's it.
I think Jimmy Havoc is the only one. But go ahead.
I was lucky enough to catch the last 40 minutes of the show to see the Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa Matos. Awesome, Jason. It was awesome. I don't know. Apparently, the rest of the show kind of lagged, but
very much
that
so.
Was worth it. That
very
was,
much so. I was not
it,
really
that was worth
on
it.
The whole. I was not a fan of the show tonight until we got to the main event, and the main event turned it all around for me.
What do you think of Lance Archer stepping up and actually taking the stick and talking and trying to start this feud with Darby? How do you think that's going to work out?
I don't know. It feels very forced to me. Mm-hmm. You know, he was almost being babyface for a while. Now he's back to being a heel. It's good in that at least he's on TV and he's not just kind of back in the locker room with nothing to do. It just feels a little forced. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's so much a match with Darby. I think this is headed for a match with Sting. And I don't know about that pairing in the ring. Sting and Lance Archer?
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad idea to me.
I mean, hey, they let Brian Cage handle him. So, I mean, how worse can Lance Archer?
Well, that was one bump. So. I mean, that was one bump. And then the other thing was a controlled cinematic thing that's a little bit different.
And Ricky Starks took care of him in that match. So,
well, you know what, though? Actually, since the match did turn out to be cinematic, because I was of the impression that Sting himself...
That's true. You don't know the cut. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say, though, Sting himself confirmed that the agreement with Tony Khan was to do cinematic matches. And then it looked like maybe they were going to have a regular street fight. But it did turn out to be cinematic. So that tells me Sting's matches going forward may all be cinematic. And if they are, then he can be, you know, pretty much against any opponent, he can pretty much be protected. So maybe it won't be as dangerous for his well-being as I think. It just seems like a weird opponent for him at this stage, Lance Archer.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you on that. But unfortunately, I didn't catch the first hour of the show. I missed the first half hour of your review. So the MJF segment, I didn't hear your opinion on it. How was it?
I thought he and Tully Blanchard were fantastic. I mean, it was just a pretty straightforward explanation. It was very much like segments that we've seen before when it comes to Evolution or the Horsemen, where he went down the line, each person in the group, here's Wardlow, he's my insurance policy, and here's Sean Spears, uh-huh. he's been held down for too long,
and chairman.
Here's FTR, yeah. the greatest team, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, pretty basic promo, but I thought Tully and MJF, they were great in their delivery.
You see Arn getting involved in this at all?
I don't.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Hey, Jason, I don't know if you got my email early in the week. I know I keep on harping on this with you. I'm sure you want to kill me about the whole Brett thing, but I did ask you that question. I don't know if you got that email. You know, there was that rumor back in that Raw, that September 22nd Raw in the Garden when Cactus Jack debuted and, mm-hmm. You know, Vince got stunned for the first time. You know, early in that day, Brett said Vince can't honor the contract. Mm-hmm. The 20-year contract, mm-hmm. and you said that we're downsizing to a Northeast promotion. You think he was full of shit, or you think he was telling the truth there?
I don't know if he ever said that. I don't know that he ever said we're downsizing to a Northeast promotion.
It came out of Brett's book. It came out of Brett's book.
Well, but the gist of it, though, is that, look, I can't afford to pay you what I have to pay you right now.
Yeah.
I think he had asked Brett, can we backload your contract so I pay you more of the money at the end? Yeah. And Brett said no, and he's... Look, smart. I don't know that I would have said yes to that. But, you know, Vince was...
Yeah.
It was a point in 97 where that company was near bankruptcy. Bankruptcy was a very real possibility. And do you remember... I've talked about it on the show. Do you remember what it was that got them to turn their fortunes around?
Yeah, they need a house. They made it 3 hours and they got charged off for the pay-per-view.
They increased the price of their pay-per-views by $5. And you would think, well, they might chase off people. In fact... It did not happen that way, and it just brought more money in. And so, but again, it's funny to look back on this and how different things might have been, because Brett didn't want to leave. But by that point, when Vince went back to Brett and said, "Hey, I can afford to pay you now," Brett was like, "You told me to go negotiate with Turner, and I've already signed a deal. It's a done deal." The rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't mind.
But imagine if he was able to end his career in WWE, wrestling some of the guys that came along in later years, like Kurt Angle, like that, Benoit, who I guess he wrestled anyway in WCW, but, you know, Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle and...
Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, I mean, it just would have been, it would have been something. Chris Jericho.
Him and Brock.
Yeah,
he could have gave Brock a great match. You know that. Yeah. So, just I just want to say, you know, I did not get my hopes up about the surprise this week on the baby. You know, I knew it wasn't Punk or Brock, but I was surprised to see Christian. I'm happy to see him. He looks good, and you know, he's 47. AJ Styles having the best matches of his career, 44. Tanahashi's 45. I mean. You know, it's a longer lifespan right now than it was in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy for Christian. Yeah. I'm really excited to see what he can do. I don't understand this whole outwork everything, this whole, I just hope what happens with Christian is not going to happen with what they're doing with Miro, because it's just a joke.
Duff's Viz.
A waste of time.
Really, thank you. Duff's Viz for the 12 bucks. I give you some confetti. That's for you. Although my thing is lagging. But there you go. Duff's Viz. Thank you for the 12 bucks. I appreciate it. So, let's...
I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, no. That's great. And I did get that. But anyway, I did get that email that you sent me. I just didn't get a chance to respond. But...
Oh, no. Yeah.
But listen,
I know I'm always bothering you about this.
No, it's fine.
I'm fascinated with it.
No, it's fine. Look, that whole period, it's fascinating to follow. And in fact, I'm going to be covering just a lot of really fascinating stuff that's going to be part of the history segment on Sunday. This is going to be this was quite the week in history. So I hope you will.
Yes.
You will enjoy the segment on Sunday's show.
Of course, I always do. And thank you for everything. It was great to talk to you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. All right, take care.
Bye.
That was Jared. Who is that in the chat? The Genius. You're being a thorn in my side, Genius. It's going to be you and me at WrestleMania. I challenge you. I challenge you to a kendo stick match where the only way to win is to do a dive out of the ring. What do you say? Duff's Vids, again, thank you for the $12. And Dreg says AEW released Sadie Gibbs and Bea Priestley alongside Jimmy Havoc due to both ladies not being in the USA and Jimmy's behavior. Also, New Jack wants Cody. Well, New Jack can want whatever he wants. AEW's not bringing him in. So he can talk away. Ain't gonna happen. Brian Becerra says Solomonster. What's going on? What's going on, Brian? Thank you for the $10, man. I appreciate that. The Genius says, I accept only if you put ownership of your podcast on the line. I accept. Because you did not specify which podcast. I could have multiple podcasts about multiple topics under different names. You didn't specify. You didn't read the fine print in the contract, my friend. You and I will have to have a contract signing on next week's stream. That's how it would be done in WWE. Right? You've got to have the contract signing. Oh my God, these lines are jammed. Let's take a few more, and then we'll wrap things up here. Thank you for all of your support tonight so far. Anyway, it has blown me away. Phone calls, super chats, you guys are great. We're going to have those memberships up in a few days, probably before Fastlane on Sunday. Memberships to join the channel will be open. I will let all of you know when that happens. So keep an eye out for that. Just another way for you to support and maybe get a few perks in return. Let's go to area code 908.
Oh, hi, Solomonster.
Hello.
I can't believe I actually got on. So this is a bit exciting for me, but you might remember me. My name is Devin. I'm from New Jersey. I know I've emailed you a couple times throughout the last couple years.
I have a couple of Devins that email me, and I'm pretty sure you're the one that I'm thinking of. So yes, I have gotten your emails.
I was going to say, are they all from New Jersey?
Not all of them, no. You might be the only one.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for providing great content. I've been listening now for, I guess it's going to be close to 5 years at this point. I remember being in school and stuff, and like there was these dead periods during study hall and lunch where nothing would be going on, and you got me through a lot of what would have been boring periods, and I just want to thank you for that. So
I appreciate that. You're very welcome. If I could be of even a small distraction for you, then it's well worth it.
Oh, that's yeah. But anyway, so my question is, well, I have a couple. I guess the first one I want to ask you is, do you think Dominic Mysterio, do you think he should go back to NXT, or not go back, but do you think he should go to NXT?
I think he should.
Do you think he needs to?
Does he need to? He's pretty advanced even for his level. I'm impressed at how far along he's come. It's at such a young age at the experience level he's at. So I don't know that he needs it, like it's going to make or break his career. I just think it would be good. You know, my idea for him after the first match he had with Seth Rollins, I figured, okay, maybe now they're going to send him to NXT. And they ended up not doing that. But I thought, send him to NXT and let him begin to work his way up. And he can challenge for the Cruiserweight title. And the story could be, I want to challenge and try to win the championship that my father won and made popular. It just seemed like a natural story to me. I still think you can tell that story, but I think they like having him and Ray together and them being a team, and maybe at some point I could see them being the tag team champions. So I don't see it happening, but if it were up to me, I think it would be good for him to go down there and and start his way up from down there.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Although, I mean, I thought that a good reason for doing it, or I guess a logical reason, would be the kind of so he can make a name for himself. But I mean, whether he goes down there or not, I mean, he's always going to be associated with the Mysterio name. So I don't know if that's really going to do anything for that. But I guess it doesn't hurt.
No. And it would be, you know, it would be someone who's had television time. I was going to say a star. He's not that big of a star yet, but you know, someone from the main roster who NXT could put on television. People know who he is now. And again, if you want to do the Cruiserweight storyline with him, I think that works. I think that works fine. I just look at his place on the SmackDown roster. They have so much talent, and they have talent that has years of experience more than Dominic does, who are not even getting the TV time that Dominic is getting. And Dominic's not getting that much either.
I was going to say, do you think there's some resentment there, backstage resentment?
How could there not be?
From a lot of the talent?
Yeah, I mean, how could there not be? I'm sure he seems like a good kid, and I mean, I assume that people there like him well enough, and they probably like Ray too. But yeah, how could there not be? You know, how could there not be resentment? If you're somebody on the SmackDown roster who's not getting television time, and Dominic is, you know, because of his dad, and he's been in the business for maybe 2 years, if that, how could there not be resentment?
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, Dominic has been on and off again. He's been a figure on WWE going back to what, like 2004?
Well, 2005.
The first time you saw him.
I mean, that was the first. Yeah, 2005. I wouldn't call him a consistent figure on TV. It was one storyline, but yeah, that was that was the ladder match. The ladder match for custody was 2005.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, my point in bringing that up is that I guess even before he started wrestling, I mean, he's established as Rey Mysterio's son, but and like I said, I don't know if NXT is going to change that in terms of, I don't want to say he'll ever be able to break away from that, but it's just, you know, it's going to be hard to. But like I said, I mean, it wouldn't hurt, I think. And I think a lot of that resentment there might be just some, just because he is who he is and he got into business in the first place, but I think a lot of it would go away if he goes through NXT. So, yeah, I don't see why not.
Cool. Anything else?
Yeah. Yes, just one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
And this is more for you, like, about your podcast.
Okay.
I was just wondering, has there ever been a time throughout the years where you, let's say, were reading something, whether it be like a statement or just like an article, and you couldn't contain yourself for whatever reason, whether it was like laughter or you were just disgust, tears even, you just couldn't get through it, or you had to stop because you were just so overcome with emotion. Is there any time like that really sticks out?
I mean, I have had that reaction to a lot of stupid stuff that TNA did over the years, and have
I can understand
entertaining
that,
time than talking about it on the podcast many, many times. So probably with them, I've probably read some tweets and statements and stuff from Dixie and whatnot and Russo and people like that made me just want to pull my hair out of my head. But other than that, it's probably mostly tweets. You know, I have the sad tweet segment on my show. I've read a lot of really dumb tweets from people. Many, many, many tweets over the years. Many, 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 many tweets over the years. So, yes, the answer is yes.
I could imagine.
The answer is yes.
Okay. All right. It has happened, but those were like the times that really stuck out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, just wondering about that. But anyway, so no, I'll let the stream here. I'm very grateful that you took my call. Mm-hmm. I don't know when you're going to be doing calls again, because I know you don't normally do them every week now because of the super chats. Mm-hmm. But whenever you do it again, hopefully I'll try getting on again and speak to you soon, hopefully.
Excellent. I appreciate the call.
Yes. All right, Salad Monster. Have a good night. Right. Thank you.
All right, you too. That was Devin. Let's go to 407, because I know he's been waiting a while. So we'll get him on. Again, try to keep things brief so we can wrap things up here, and then we'll get to a few more people. 407.
Yo, Salad Monster, it's Casey DeMoss.
Casey, what's going on?
Hey, chilling. I do have to keep it short and sweet because I was supposed to be asleep hours ago.
So was I.
Yeah, I had to work the three jobs, man. So it's just.
So I
thought the AEW show.
Well, go ahead.
I don't know how you're gonna get through recording all of those, all of that content. I know you're gonna be like pretty much drained.
You know what I'm dreading? You know what I'm dreading? I'm dreading, but I'm looking forward to it as well, because it's probably going to be the biggest week of the year for me, is WrestleMania week, because I'm probably going to be doing 5 or 6 straight days of streaming, plus in there will be the regular podcast, and on top of that, all the history stuff, because we have the history segment every week on the show. Well, we're heading into a period here where, you know, 20-year anniversary of the death of WCW, 20-year anniversary of the death of ECW, and every WrestleMania. This is the period. Every WrestleMania.
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna jump off my roof. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments, man. The 20th anniversary of when Vince McMahon stopped giving a damn, the creator went downhill.
Yeah, so there's a lot of content. A lot of live streams coming up, but as long as you and everybody else joins me, then we'll make it through. It'll be fun.
And you know, I'll always be around.
Oh, I know.
I thought the AEW show, like, besides the women's match, I thought it was kind of boring. Like,
yeah,
the women's match was the best thing on the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's like a one match show. And I also want to add, when you was talking about AEW Dark, I agree with that. By the time the second hour was coming, I was laying on the floor, foaming at the mouth. I was like, is this thing going to be over yet?
You might want to see a doctor
it's
for that.
Too damn long. I don't know what the heck.
Shouldn't
I was
be happening.
Like, oh, my God, man. I can't get through these long shows, man. Even SmackDown is too long for me now.
I have found that my let me just say this real quick. I have found that my attention span, it's getting, even for me, and I watch a lot of wrestling, it's getting harder and harder. Even like a 1 hour show, or, you know, like a normal length show, it's getting harder and harder. My attention span has gotten shorter and shorter as the years have gone on.
I mean, that's what happens when you force yourself to watch a bunch of shitty shows, especially Monday Night Raw.
I think that's what happens when you get old, too. We're getting old, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to be 35 next month. So yeah,
not Christian Cage old, but we're getting old.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? That got to the point. I'm like, I let Solomon Master do all the hard work, and I'll just listen to it on Sunday.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. That's great.
But yeah, man, I'm not going to hold it up because I got to get to sleep. I got to get up at 7. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
All right, get to bed.
Count sheep. You have a good night.
Count sheep.
Definitely. I'll probably count AEW matches.
Whatever works AEW for you and gets you to sleep, count them. Count your money. Count something, as long as you go to sleep.
Definitely, man. You have a good night.
All right, you too. KC DeMoss, working 3 jobs, man. Hardest working man. Every time I talk to him, he sounds so tired. Always working. You've got to respect the hustle. So my thanks to him. Tamara Davis with the $5. Tamara, what's going on, Tamara? Always love hearing from Tamara. Says, keep up the great work. I appreciate that. Always good to hear from Tamara. And dry chicken without flavor with the $12. Wow, he swerved me. Usually it's $5. He sent a $12 super chat. Big money Matt Hardy wants 30% ownership of your Solo Monster Sounds Off podcast. Hangman Adam Page has finally given $12 to Private Party on BTE. Sounds like YouTube taking 30% of all my super chats. That's the split, by the way. 70-30. YouTube gets 30% of everything. Because they're YouTube. They know they can just take whatever they want. I've already, YouTube's already got me by the balls with our arrangement. I don't need Matt Hardy trying to muscle his way in. But thank you, brother. I appreciate that. There's Tamara with the wrench in the chat. Hit that thumbs up, by the way. You'll hear the mods mention that every now and then if you haven't already done so. Please hit that thumbs up. It does help the video out. All right, let's do... oh, boy. Again, I apologize in advance for not being able to get to everybody. But all of our regular callers know. Sometimes they get through, sometimes they don't. 702.
Hey, Solomon, how you doing?
Good.
So, thinking about the main events, Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker kind of brought some
hell of a match.
Memories of yeah, it was a fantastic match, actually. Brought some memories of early in the 2010s with Darren Terrell and Gil Kim, kind of like
interesting,
like coming out, Marty.
Yeah, well, obviously this was far more brutal and hardcore than that was, but yeah, that's a good point. You know, Taryn Terrell for a while, yeah, everybody made fun of her when she was Tiffany, the GM of ECW, because we didn't really see her wrestle much, but she had a good series of matches there with Gail Kim in Impact, and people, I think I forgot about it too. I guess the point you're trying to make is this was for the women in a lot of ways. I think they're coming out party tonight, kind of the way it was with Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim back then. Is that kind of the point that you're trying to make?
In a sense, yeah. What do you?
Because I know those two. I know the two of them had a ladder match, but I don't recall them doing anything that was nearly as brutal as what we saw tonight.
No, it wasn't brutal or anything like that. I will actually even say that this match was overall better. It was just the other one was like Taryn Terrell wasn't actually seen even as a decent wrestler. I think we can all agree that at the very least both Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker are seen as a very minimum good wrestlers that just don't have. At least Britt Baker hasn't got like that big signature match.
No, she does now.
Oh, yeah. And I think with the whole stipulation that they had, you know, how like they use in kayfabe, they use their rankings to like issue their title matches. I think with that stipulation, it's probably just going to be Britt Baker that is going to get the title shot first. And eventually, over time, they're going to run it back with Thunder Rosa.
It's possible. I would be fine with that. I would have no issue with that at all.
Yeah. Also, I was really disappointed in the first match with Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Lucha Underground days where Pentagon did that... arm wrench, arm breaker thing.
Arm
breaker. Mm-hmm. And and that after he executed, they did like a quick cutoff and the match was over. Like, no pins, no nothing. I miss those days.
I miss Lucha Underground. I miss Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Like, that was to me, one of the best protected finishes. Like, I miss those. Every time I see him doing that move, and I'm like, that should be over.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it is what it is. Well, that's all I'm going to say. Have a good night.
You too. So let's, again, thank you for all of the calls, and again, all the people I have not been able to get to. I apologize, but we'll try to amp the calls up a little bit. I don't know if we'll do them on Sunday night or not, but certainly next week. Colin Adam with a $2 super chat. Will you be reviewing the NWA pay-per-view on Sunday? I will not. I will not, because the pay-per-view is airing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm going to be preparing for a 7 o'clock pay-per-view. And that is after recording a podcast that morning. I will not have any time for the NWA. So, unfortunately, no. I will not be watching, at least not on Sunday. I will not be watching, and therefore I will not be renewing it. So we do a little something, as you guys well know, if you tune into this stream each and every Wednesday. We do a little fun thing here at the end. We open this bad boy up here. Shout out to our good friend Zinfamous. Zinfamous HD. Stop the gift twice. And whoever it lands on is going to be the WrestleMania main event. So let's see. Let's see who the WrestleMania main event is going to be this year at Raymond James Stadium. We have the cleaner, the AEW World Champion, Kenny Omega. Look at that, occupying one half of the WrestleMania main event. And his opponent, well, this should be good. His opponent is going to be Rob Van Dam. What do you think about that match? Now, are we talking RVD 2021? Or are we talking old school RVD? Because I think old school RVD and Kenny Omega would have been a hell of a match. RVD 2021, that I'm not so sure of. That I am not so sure of. Don't know about that one. But I've picked much worse matches in the past. So I will take that. I will take Kenny Omega and RVD for many a year. All right, guys, listen, thank you very much for all of your support. You guys killed it on Super Chat tonight, which I wasn't expecting. You blew me away on that. And I'm glad we got some phone calls in. I'm glad we had that women's main event that really, for me, saved the show from being kind of a dud for me. To being a show that I'm going to remember for a while. That main event deserves all the praise that you're going to be hearing it getting in the days to come. And again, my kudos to both women. They was put up or shut up time. And they both put up big time in that main event tonight. I am going to be live on YouTube this Sunday, immediately following the Fastlane pay-per-view. And we're doing a Wrestle Rumble contest. It's the final stop. Wrestle Rumble contest. I don't know if I have the do I have the poster here? Yes, I do. See, I'm always prepared. You can get in on this contest and you can win any of those belts that you see on your screen. It's only a buck to enter. Just go to WrestleRumble.com. I have the great fortune of doing the live drawing on the air on Sunday night, and you might win. You might win a replica belt. You can win the Daniel Bryan. Look at that, the environmental belt. That is his eco-friendly championship belt, among others that are on the line. So we'll have some fun on Sunday night. Of course, as always, episode 696 will drop early afternoon on Sunday, so you guys get a double podcast from me. Work, work, work. The work never ends. Prep every day. I'm in podcast mode. We get to the end of the week, I'm just in full podcast mode. So anyway, I hope you guys will tune in. I hope you guys will join me again back here on YouTube on Sunday night. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic week. And again, thank you for all of your support, everybody in the chat, all the mods. Thank you again. Take care, guys.